for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture PlayStation podcast. For 40 years of playing PlayStation and 12 plus years, that game has been quite much. Thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, count at patreon.com/popcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popcultures.com/shop, and buy shirts and other sorted shit with our logos on it. Now, let's get right into it, because this is the thing, right? Max goes to me, oh yeah, you know, been a quiet day, not much this week, but oh yeah, cool. He's like, yeah, watch WrestleMania.
Some of WrestleMania. Not all. I'm not that sad. Just some.
Mind you, this is coming from the guy, yeah, who watched it all today, and then has also taken a day of annual leave tomorrow to watch day two. So, I understand the sad remarks, you asshole. All right, Max. how did you? Because you don't watch wrestling fucking ever. And I live and breathe.
I wasn't planning on watching it. I opened Binge to watch something else, like WrestleMania. I'm like, I'll have a look. It's there.
It popped up
in my face. I got suckered in by the pop-up ad. And it opened to... This is where I first learned it. It was when I think Sami Zayn was on a fucking stair machine with Chad Gable.
Doing the whole Rocky montage.
I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Well, they're in Philadelphia, so they're doing a big homage to Rocky. And
so I watched from that point all the way through to the end.
Holy shit! Like, because you watched the main event, so the Roman Reigns and The Rock versus Cody and Seth Rollins. So you watched the kickoff, the big huge F off main event. Yeah. You watched that incredible Intercontinental Championship match where Gunther, who has been the longest running champion with that title in history, like there's a lot, and it was a lot for him to lose that belt today. And yeah, you got to see it, which was awesome. Did you, like, I assume you're not going to become this giant-ass fan or nothing.
No, not at all.
No, I didn't think so.
Not at all.
But did you, like, were you able to sort of enjoy it and take in some of the appeal, I guess?
For what it was cool. I think I made a lot of the comments to you were during the quote-unquote main event.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, everything's made up and the rules don't matter.
Oh, absolutely. Because The Rock's like, fuck you. If you count, you're fired.
Apparently, it just doesn't matter. Like, there's just no purpose to it whatsoever. It's like, cool. yeah, you know, there were some pretty cool moments. The physicality of it all is quite impressive to see. But, yeah, it was just like, it's really not for me. Like, and I think I saw some of your tweets. It's just, is fucking, what's his name? The YouTuber just double dipping. He's just like in WWE and he's also pimping his shit on the WWE mat.
Oh, Logan Paul with Prime. Yeah. So for the first time ever in WWE history, they have on the mat.
Hydration station.
Yeah, they have on the mat advertising. Very similar to what Japan does. So in the middle of the ring was this like stencil of Prime energy drink. And then on ringside, there was a little station. I think The Rock got thrown into at some point.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure The Rock spat some at Seth Rollins at one point.
Oh, no, it was the other way. Seth Rollins spat at The Rock, and then they went outside, and Rock found some water, because he ain't drinking Prime, and spits in true heel fashion. He's like, fuck your drink.
it was cool. It was fun.
That was good. It was like, I won't go too deep, because obviously I'll get excited, and But yeah, so we did have the viewing party that we normally do for WrestleMania here at my house. It was I thought it was a pretty good night one. Very few things that kind of like soured it for me. The opening match, Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley. Rhea retains. It was incredible. It was awesome. Super Pride of Australia. Then we had the tag match, The Awesome Truth, and A-Town Down Under got the win. And then, yeah, so it's Austin.
You were speaking English at this point?
Yeah, I am. Yes. Austin Theory, Grayson Waller, they won the SmackDown titles, and R-Truth and The Miz won the Raw tag. The Jimmy and Jey Uso match, that was fine. The Rey Mysterio and Andrade El Idolo versus Santos Escobar and Dominic and Rey Mysterio. That wasn't the fucking team. That wasn't the team at all. Either way, it was fine. But yeah, the big winners were the matches that you saw: the Intercontinental and the big F off tag main event.
So what's happening tomorrow if everything's done?
Like, so.
What is the reason to tune in tomorrow?
There is the Roman versus Cody in a one-on-one match. So that's what everything's building towards. You have the women's world championship with Bayley versus Io Sky. You have the United States Championship, so Logan Paul versus Randy Orton and versus Kevin Owens. There's a Philadelphia street fight. I think there's something else. It's very likely, that main event tomorrow. So the Cody versus Roman with Bloodline rules, it's gonna get really unnecessary. It's gonna be one of the most overbooked matches you've ever seen.
What the fuck is Bloodline rules?
It's essentially their way of saying anything goes.
But we've already established that anything goes because the rules don't matter.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's pick and choose. Because as I said, a Bloodline, like what makes it a Bloodline rules match is no different to what makes it a no DQ match or a hardcore match. Like they really just pick and choose. It's like it's anything goes. Like isn't that then a no holds barred? Well, no, it's not a no hold. Isn't that then a extreme rules? Isn't that a no DQ? Like the fuck is it? They didn't really want it to be. Okay.
Are they going to cut each other's hands open and shake on it first? Is that the Bloodline?
They might do the, you know, like the spit and, you know. No, essentially it's going to be the most overbooked match. It's going to be insane. We'll have a bunch of special guests. There'll be a lot of bullshit. It'll just be utter nonsense for about 45 minutes, I reckon.
Is The Rock going to referee it?
No, but with Bloodline rules, he's able to get involved. So my theory, sitting at the table right now, is that we will get the appearances of a bunch of cool people. And like in the way that they have essentially been telling this WWE version of the MCU, they're straight up like Seth Rollins is Captain America. Sorry, Seth Rollins is Iron Man. Cody Rhodes is Captain America. There's a bunch of things that like just line up in the MCU. Like we had our Infinity War today. They lost. The good guys lost. But then tomorrow, everyone's going to come together to take down the final boss and the head of the table, Roman Reigns. So
someone's going to crawl up his ass and explode him from the inside?
I hope so.
You're going to Ant-Man him?
Yeah, that's the point.
I tend to watch that.
Yeah. No, I think there'll be that moment of, like, standoff, very, like, you know, here's all the good guys, here's all the bad guys, and I reckon we'll get Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think he'll show up and get involved in some way. I think some of the older family members of the Bloodline, so I think you might get your Rikishis out there. Ideally, it's this big F-off moment, and it's going to be cool. But the unfun part is, as I mentioned, it is a Monday, so it is a working day. I've taken the day off, but neither Phoebe, my partner, she didn't, because they're smart. Craig didn't. He couldn't get it off, so he's not working. So he's working, sorry. So,
sick day.
Huh?
Sick day.
Yeah, well, that's what I said, but they're like, no, I need my job. I'm like, well, that's true, I need my job too, but that's why I took leave, you fucks. So it's going to be me watching it all by my lonesome, by the looks, tomorrow, which is unexpected, but I'm okay with it. I'll enjoy it. I'll have a good time. Now, let that y'all know, I had a good old nap this afternoon. I watched the show and went, that was good WrestleMania. I'm a bit fucking post-nap weird.
James can't watch it with him, would he?
Yeah, he could, but he'd hate it. He'd probably want me to change the channel or something.
Still school holidays.
Yeah, but I'll have to, I don't think I can subject him to 4 hours of watching wrestling at home.
Fair.
Like, when we go somewhere and watch the show, like, there's a break in the middle. Yeah. There's, you know, he doesn't, even then he doesn't give it his full attention. But, like, yeah, like, I want to watch, I guess it's one of those things where I'd love to have him, and he'd be more than welcome to if he asked me. But, like, I need to watch it.
Gang Beast on the PlayStation Portal while you're watching WrestleMania.
Yeah, I fucking did think that too, actually. But yeah, I'm excited tomorrow. Should be pretty good nonetheless. But outside of that, Max, anything else get up to this week?
Not really, man.
No?
I'm going away in 2 weeks, so forget.
I'm going to forget. None of the, I'll just show up by myself. It's fine. Too lazy to organize a guest.
But other than that, nothing's really been happening.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat. It's been a pretty chill week. Not much to report. I did go interstate this week. I did go up to the Brisbanes for work. One thing that did let me test out was the PlayStation Portal. Because you and I have talked about this. We're like, well, you know, its use case is predominantly inside your house. But what happens when you take it outside your house? So I did that. I took it with me to Brisbane. And we encountered some initial problems. Problems that are difficult to counteract.
The use case for the device, which is designed to be used when you're not available to use your PS5, but it's only really usable in your own house when you would have access to your PS5.
Yeah, so the challenge with it is if you were to use it anywhere that isn't your house, it is totally doable if that internet doesn't have that pre-browser authentication. So,
I told you how to get around that, but you didn't want to do it.
It seemed like fucking effort. And it was too late in the day for me to worry about that. But the couple of things is, one, because it doesn't have a browser, and when you go to select a Wi-Fi that's like, hey, you know, a hotel Wi-Fi or an airplane Wi-Fi, it goes, you can't access the terms and conditions, therefore you can't use it. Which is also bizarre because the portal has an airplane mode. Real fucking useful when it's unusable on an airplane. Awesome. Stoked.
Well, I know on my phone, airplane mode also turns off its Wi-Fi.
Correct.
Where the fuck does it have an...
Correct. I have no idea. I've spent this whole week thinking about it, and I could have, like, Googled it, but I didn't. But no, straight up. It has an airplane mode. Maybe it's one of these requirements, like any device that has a Wi-Fi must have an airplane mode. That's some sort of safety feature. Sorry, or some sort of production requirement, because why the fuck should it have airplane mode? Unless it's some sort of major requirement. Now, Max is intently Googleizing.
According to this person, airplane mode does not turn off Wi-Fi. It definitely fucking turns off mine.
I mean, it depends on your device.
Are you dumb? It's an airplane mode so that the portal can fly. Just turn it on and throw it.
Awesome.
It's an FCC requirement for any handheld electronic device that can transmit or receive data.
There you go. So you can't use it, but you can have it on your plane and switch that dongle and do nothing. Useless. So, Max, what have you been playing this week?
This.
Oh, for those playing at home, that's Dragon's Dogma 2. Tell me about it.
Yep, so I picked up Dragon's Dogma 2 this week. I sold my Xbox Series... No, my Xbox One S.
Oh.
My Xbox One S. The one that I paid $200 for way back in the day when EB Games were like, hey... Are you bored this weekend? Would you like 5 games and an Xbox for $200? I'm like, yes, sir, I would. So I sold that bad boy back to EB Games and I got $73.
Was it just the console, though?
Just the console.
That seems so embarrassingly low.
I mean, considering the fact that I only paid $200 for it.
Oh yeah, for you, if anybody else that bought it at the full $400 or whatever, and they got $73 back.
To be fair, it was $73, including my 20% bonus trade-in value, so it was actually only like 60 something.
God, that is such a kick in the ween.
It didn't even cover the cost of the game because games are so fucking expensive these days.
Wow. So it's not even a full release game. That's fucked.
Barely covers an indie title.
Like, so my question here is, like, does that show the state of EB Games as a business, or yes. does it show yes. the state of Microsoft?
Because they're selling those bad boys for like $150 anyway, pre-owned. Although, to be fair, he didn't even check if it worked. He just scanned the barcode on the back and went, cool, here's your money. I'm like, cool.
Yeah, but I mean that in terms of, like, is the console market for Xbox so shitty that, like, no one will give us money for Xbox?
Well, I mean, so I rang up a couple of months, would have been about a year ago now, when I asked for the price roughly when I sold the PS4, mm-hmm. when Phoebe bought the PS4, because I'm like, I'll sell it for trade value essentially because that's what I'm going to get. And I'm like, hey, what's the Xbox worth? And it was around what the PlayStation 4 was worth at the time.
Just 100 something?
I would wager that they're probably around the same price now, a year down the track. I mean, it was the Series S. It was the 1S, sorry. It's the, you know, the basic of the basics.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Mute in the chat, which you too, if you watch along live over on twitch.tv/popculturist, Mute jumps in and says, literally my used game store don't even take Xbox's trade-ins, as they say it doesn't get sold in their store.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, it's kind of rough. But that doesn't answer the question around your Dragon's... We're really locked in the story of how you got your copy of Dragon's Dogma 2.
Dragon's Dogma 2 is currently my game of the year.
Whoa!
So I am playing this post patch. So I didn't. This is post the performance patch that the PlayStation 5 received.
Yep.
Still at times runs a little bit like arsehole, but for the most part, it's above 30 frames at all times now.
Awesome.
Definitely not hitting fucking 60, but it's tolerable. So, in Dragon's Dogma 2, you play as the Arisen, who is the leader of the land that you're in. But when you become the Arisen, you lose all your memories, and an imposter is put in your place as leader, and you have to try and solve that political intrigue as you learn how to deal with your newfound powers.
Okay. Then why would you take it if you get all that?
That's kind of cool. I mean, you're near on immortal, you have magical powers, you have power over the pawns, which are these essential frowned upon people in the shunned people of the land that you can spawn in to help you in your cause. Game's rad. So I started off as a archer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, gonna play it safe, gonna play a ranged character, I'm not gonna get up all close up and personal. I know that this game has one save. If I die, I'm gonna lose a lot of progress. Revive stones are costly and rare. I'll be safe. Played Archer for a while until I unlocked one of the new classes, the Mystic Spearhand, swapped to a melee character. And then once I unlocked the Magic Archer, I very quickly went back to being a ranged boy. So the moment-to-moment gameplay is kind of fun. You do a lot of... I've done a lot of walking. The fast travel system...
With the micros?
There's two separate fast travel systems. There's the ox carts. So once you've walked from one place to one place, an ox cart will be available to use where you can kind of skip that journey.
Yeah.
It comes with a gold fee. Very, very cheap. And essentially you sit on the, you pay your fee, you sit on the cart, you snooze, and you'll either get to the town or you'll be attacked on the way. You clear that battle, jump back on the cart, rest, you're at the town.
Yeah.
Not all towns have ox carts.
All right.
Then you have the other fast travel system is the fairy stones. The fairy stones are expensive. They're about 10,000 gold.
Mm-hmm.
Most vendors will only sell you one. you can find them out in the world, but you can only teleport to port crystals. There is only one permanent port crystal, and it's in the very first main town you experience. So far, I have found three portable port crystals that I can be that can be placed anywhere I want. Mm-hmm. I can pick them up and move them if I want to, and that allows me to teleport to any of those points that I've placed down. I don't use that often because it's very costly.
Yeah.
But I have...
In your experience so far, what locations would be deemed worthy of that portable crystal?
So, I have one in the second main town that you go to. So, as far as I'm aware, there's three main areas on the map. And I've put them in all of the capitals.
That makes sense.
Because the capitals are essentially like ox cart ports. Mm. And then I can kind of go from where I need to go to where I need to go from there.
Makes sense.
The combat is extremely fun depending on what class you're playing. So if you're playing a melee class, you kind of get up and close and personal with a lot of these larger monsters, be it like the ogres, the cyclopses, the griffins. Essentially what you want to do is deal enough damage to their legs that they stumble. You then grab them and you rip them down onto the ground and you smack them in the face for as much damage as possible, and you kind of rinse and repeat. Mm-hmm. You can climb up on them while they're like full Monster Hunter style. You can climb up on their backs and just fucking smack them in the back of the head, try and knock them down faster. As I'm playing a ranged character, I kind of just stay back, shoot them, and I use my... You can have up to... You have your main pawn that you create, and then you can summon two others. So my main pawn is currently like a support magic type class, mm-hmm. and the two other pawns that I've hired are both melee tanks. So they go in and cover me while I kind of do all the damage from behind.
Hot.
Yeah. The class I'm playing, the magic archer, it's very good. All its abilities are homing, mm-hmm. so you cannot miss. And I've gone from at the start of the game when I was just an archer or a the spearman. Every time I saw a griffin, I would run away. I'm like, I can't deal with that. I can now one-shot them as a magic archer. Essentially, the ultimate ability for the magic archer is I sacrifice my health to do like one big attack.
Yep.
So as long as I'm close to a resting point, I can sacrifice all of my HP and can instantly kill almost everything in the game except for dragons. I've only killed one dragon so far. They're a real pain in the ass to fight. But yeah, I'm having a blast. Just exploring is fun. Seeing what's out in the world, finding different spots. The pawns that you can summon from other people's areas. If you have an unexplored area on the map that you're close to, they'll be like, hey, in a world that I've traveled before, I noticed that there was a cave over here that you haven't found yet. Would you like me to take you there? We can go and explore it together. Then you hit go, you command them to go, and they'll be like, cool, follow me, and they'll go take you to hidden treasure chests that they've found, or caves that they've found, bosses that they've fought. It's really cool. It also works with the quest system. The quests are fairly ambiguous in this RPG. You kind of got to do a lot of searching for yourself. But if you've summoned a pawn who has done it in their world, they'll be like, hey, I've got some information about this. I know the guy that you need to talk to. If you want, I can show you where he is. And you're like, cool, help me out. And he'll be like, follow me. And you can go follow him.
Now, is this all these pawns, are they like RNG'd?
So they're player made, or you can use the very cheap to free Capcom made ones.
Okay.
And the Capcom made ones are hilarious because they're made based on like big Twitch streamers.
Oh.
So the first one that I used was Asmongold, who looks exactly like him, except he's bald and it's hilarious. Yeah. But they kind of, the pawns don't level up with you. So you're constantly changing them in and out, swapping them to
lemmings almost.
Yeah, essentially. And I sent you a video last night. So one of the things that the magic archer can do is revive and heal using arrows. And I couldn't work out a way to get down off this mountain. So I yeeted one of my pawns down, killed them, shot them with an arrow, respawned them, and then I jumped down because they will catch you at any height and prevent all fall damage.
I genuinely wonder how you worked that out.
So I just yeet all my guys off the cliff and jump down. Good fun.
You and your min-max play.
I'm having such a blast with it. It's yeah, it's a shame that it's has gotten such a negative review due to the putting of microtransactions in it after the fact that after reviews came out.
Which is a valid criticism at its core.
Sure. But they're definitely not necessary purchases. Yeah. I have yet to feel the need to be like, I could spend $1.50 to fast travel.
Yeah.
But I'm having so much fun in the moment-to-moment exploring that I find myself often not fast traveling anyway.
Interesting.
But yeah, it's been a blast. But that's all I've been playing this week.
Interesting. Well, I'm glad you got a kick out of it because I know you were really, really excited to check it out.
I mean, it's a shame because it runs on the Resident Evil, the RE engine.
Yeah.
And it's just, it runs like such fucking rubbish. Like, it really does. I would hate to see how it ran pre-patch. I guess I could do it, actually, because I've got a disc version. I could just uninstall the update and play it pre-patch. But, like I said, it struggles as it is now, and there's noticeable frame dips.
Yeah.
Most egregious is the pop-ins of, like, if you run into a merchant quarter in a main city, there'll be no one there, and then all of a sudden they'll just...
Those appear,
one by one, they'll just start fluttering in and be like, oh, okay. There are people here. I'm really enjoying it. So, and yeah, in a year that a Final Fantasy game came out, this is currently sitting as my number one contender.
Yeah, very much, especially after coming off the back of one as well. It's pretty exciting. But like, you sit here and you say, you know, this is your game of the year. This is your game of the year,
and it's fucking March.
Yeah, but there is only one answer. For game of the year at the moment. And it's not even a full game. It's just DLC. Eddie Gordo is now playable in Tekken 8. The guy, the goat, the one. He's available now in Tekken 8 as part of the first DLC.
I hear he came along with a fucking fighter pass, a battle pass system.
Oh, did he? Bam. I didn't see that. Thankfully, thank you to the team at Bandai Namco Australia. We got provided a review code a little while ago when the game launched, which gave us the season pass. So I did go straight in, download Eddie, and I just went straight to me versus the computer. I'm like, do I still have it? And by God, Max, still have it.
No,
it's not. It's slightly different from what I remember, but it's certainly the foundations are still there. Like, I'm instantly able to, like, go through these fights, get hit maybe once, and then just string my little kick combos together. Not just spamming, Max.
Sounds like we have to play again.
It sounds like we might have to play again. And I'm wouldn't be mad about it because...
Now that your boy's in.
Yeah, now that my boy's there, it felt good. First thing I did was boot him up. I go, I'm going to punch Paul, you know, because that throwback. And then I did a one with Jin and then one with Kazuya. I'm like, oh, it's like playing Tekken 3 all over again. It's beautiful. Beautiful. But yeah, a lot of the combos are the same. He's not wearing the extravagant nonsense of Tekken 3, like no big green and gold suit, or the purple and black little sneaks and shorts.
I noticed that he cut his hair so he doesn't trip over it.
Well, he's never really had that long hair.
Did he have like long dreads?
It's been similar to the dreads as they are now. Similar. But he does have that haircut they've seemed to have given every gentleman with dark skin in movies. It's the same as Killmonger in like Black Panther and Anytime. And there's another game that did it recently too. He's got the same haircut as fucking what's his face in Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown. You know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that seems dealio. But yeah, that is absolutely like no joke. I'm so happy to have him in the game. But other than that, not really a lot. I did play some more of my simulated games bullshit. So I ended up picking up a game called Contraband Police, which you essentially play this Russian border patrolman for this in the 80s, for this fake country called Akara stan, which is fun. I downloaded Thief Simulator on PlayStation because it was like $6. I was like, sick, sure, why not? So that's all about breaking into houses and stealing shit and getting better at it. Now, my current insane hyperfixation, Max, is Mythbusters. I don't know what it is, okay, but for some reason, Mythbusters is making my brain unmeasurably happy. So the last like 2 weeks, I've just been watching. Like I discovered that it was on ABC iView. I was like, sweet. So now I'm watching stacks of it. I watched some on the plane. I watched some when I went to Perth. I'm watching, you know, like I'm watching it at home. Like something about it is just really tinkling my brain. Whether it be like the production of it, the creative aspect. There is just something about it that makes me happy.
It sounds better than the show that I'm currently binge watching.
Which is?
Well, I started rewatching Supernatural.
Oh, that's a long run.
And then
good show. After about long set.
After about like 7 episodes, I realized I was doing a lot of it with Ollie in the room. Like, it's probably not appropriate. So I switched to Charmed.
Oh, the OG Charmed or the new Charmed?
The OG.
Yeah.
Which is probably just as bad, but the CG was way worse back then. So.
Why Charmed?
Because it was just on stand.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's just there. Like, I'm like, I'm still patiently waiting until November for fucking Yellowstone to finish.
Yep.
So I needed something else, and I'm like, yeah, fuck it, let's do Charmed again.
Yeah, like it. Okay, well, thankfully I'm not rewatching Charmed, which is good, but it did get me to a point where I was like, oh, and then I was sitting here at my computer and I was like, oh, there's a Steam sale on, because there's always a Steam sale on. I was like, well, what do they have in Sim games? Like, maybe there's some new game that'll pique my interest if I want to do that, the idea that I pitched last week, right? This silly little side hustle of me playing Sim games. And I guess what I found? A Mythbusters game.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's called, yeah, Mythbusters the Game Crazy Experiment Simulator. I was like, oh, shit. The reviews for it look garbage.
Well, like, I thought you were going to tell me that you picked up the new hotness that is, what's it fucking called? Damage Control, something like that?
Oh, Content Warning.
Content Warning.
No,
yeah.
I haven't. I have heard good things. Very similar to that of, what was it? Small Company? Whatever the fuck, was it Small Company? I don't know, whatever that fucking that game that multi game that was semi recently, something company, Lethal Company.
Mm.
Yeah, so I think it's in a similar vein to Lethal Company, which I had fun for like the 4 games that I played, and then I realized that was it. I was like, oh, well, mechanically it's not very deep, so there's no reason for me to play this long term.
So Mythbusters Simulator, though.
No, absolutely. Like, I haven't picked it up yet. It was sitting there at $18. I was like, ew. Put it on my wish list. And literally the next day went, yo, it's about $8 now. I was like, oh, this game. And then I looked at the reviews. Apparently it's garbage. None of the Mythbusters characters are in it. You're essentially in like a really shitty version of M5.
It's a solid $9.80.
Yep.
But... Hear me out. If you search for Mythbusters in Steam,
yeah,
right underneath it, which might tickle your fancy, is Mythbusters and Farmers.
What?
Oh, dude, you could have got it in a bundle. There's Mythbusters and Thief Simulator bundle.
Oh, well, I have Thief Simulator for the PlayStation, not for the PC. It does kind of look like ass on the PC, on the PS4 though. PS5, sorry.
Apparently this game is bundled with almost every other simulation game. So you can get Mythbusters and Farmer's Life.
Farmer's Life. Ooh. It does.
Farmer's Life, the big sale for $30 by itself.
Look, it does tick all my boxes. That is certainly true.
That's great. I'm looking at it. Terrible.
It looks so bad, doesn't it? But if I want to do my silly simulated idea, that would be in that wheelhouse, would it not? That'd be right in my dumb wheelhouse. Be a good one to start on, actually. Because so far I've picked all the sim games I really enjoy, but like, it'd be fun to play some that are kind of shitty.
That's great.
All right, Max, let's get into this section called Inform the Players. We tell everyone about what happened this week in PlayStation. What happened?
Not much.
Sorry.
We have what they're referring to as the enhanced label. So Sony will brand games with a PS5 Pro, quote, enhanced label if they go the extra mile to support its upgraded machine, a new Insider Gaming Report claims. Keeping with promotional efforts seen for the PlayStation 4 Pro during the last generation, such a badge is said to feature if a studio applies just one of a few different enhancements to its pre-existing or future titles. To earn the PS5 Pro enhanced label, it is reported the developer must apply one of the following upgrades to a game: a better targeted resolution on PS5 Pro, that of the fixed resolution of a standard PS5 model, an improved target max resolution on PS5 over a variable resolution featured on the base system, increased frame rate target on Pro that's better than the fixed frame rate seen on the original PS5, or the use of the PS5 Pro's ray tracing features. If development team applies any of those enhancements to its game, the enhanced tag will come into use, it is claimed by the outlet. However, in general, it suggests that Sony wants teams both internally and from third parties to offer a graphical mode exclusive to the Pro that combines an upscaled 4K res through the use of its DLSS-like PlayStation spec resolution system with a constant 60 frames per second. Ray tracing effects would then either be added or enhanced on top of that. According to previous Inside Gamer reporting, this exclusive graphics mode will be possible on PS5 Pro due to the GPU that's up to 3 times faster than the base models and speedier RAM. With Sony reportedly targeting a holiday 2024 launch, it is said that developers under the PlayStation Studios banner have had access to the Pro dev kits since September of last year, with third parties receiving theirs in January of this year.
Look, as you mentioned at the start of this, this is no real surprise in terms of a concept. It was what was done with the PS4 Pro. However, from memory, I don't really actively remember there being like big tentpole games or like, boom, these are PS4 Pro enhanced, right? Or is that just me?
I don't know. I never looked at them because I never got a Pro.
Because I'm sure that there was like games like Spider-Man or whatever, like may have had it on their packaging from memory. But like because I had a PS4 Pro, I just played games without looking at it. Like they did have that boost mode that you could turn on, and if you were lucky, it made the game better. But if the game didn't support it, nothing would have changed. Like, it is one of those things where I guess because I was living it in that moment and not actively seeking it out, I don't really feel at any point was I like, oh man, glad I'm playing this as PS4 Pro enhanced. Because it's one of those things, once you go from the standard to the Pro, you are no longer paying attention to the differences because those differences become your normal. Unless you have a PS4 to look back on and go, oh well, that's what it looks like here. This is what the PS4 Pro looks like over here. Same goes for the PS5. If you have a PS5 and you sell that for a Pro, this will become your normal. And unless someone tells you that it's different or it's poo, you'll be like, oh, okay, well, I guess that's different, right? Mm. So I guess we'll wait and see. We discussed this either right now, neither you or I will be likely getting a Pro. We have no interest in really spending the money because you're happy with your base. I've got my slim version. Because I use it for you know, easy transport, and I'm super happy with it. I have no problem with it. So I'm probably not in a rush to do that. But the thing we don't know, Max, is sort of like, as I mentioned, they talk about, you know, current and future titles that will be enhanced to best support that PS5 Pro. Because unlike previous years, they're not going to make games that are PS5 Pro only, right? It'll always be a PS5 game that can be supported by the Pro. And it's been a little while since we've really heard like what PlayStation are doing. I mean, there was a state of play the back end of last year from memory. But
there was a little state of play 3 weeks ago, wasn't there?
Was there? I didn't watch it.
Yeah, you did.
Did I?
Yeah. What was it?
That's more than 3 weeks ago then. There was one earlier this year. That is certainly true, from memory. But I'm talking about big honking showcase.
It was in Feb.
In Feb, there you
it's,
go.
It's the one with the Helldivers. They showed off Death Stranding 2.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
February sometime.
Cool, so. But that was a state of play.
A month ago, yeah. Correct.
What we haven't had in a very long time is a big honking showcase. And it appears that Sony likes to put, you know, it appears that something might be in the works. Apparently, it's May. It's gonna be May. So, Giant Bomb journalist Jeff Grubb has reported that he's heard, quote, a bunch of times, end quote, from sources that Sony is planning an event for May, and it sounds more like another big PlayStation showcase rather than a more subdued state of play. Grubb's comments were made when discussing the ESRB age ratings given to the Silent Hill 2 remake, which he reckons could be part of the show. The remake from Bloober Team is still slated for a 2024 release, and Grubb guesses it shall feature in the event. Excuse me. Quote, I have heard that there will be a PlayStation something, either a state of play or a showcase next month in May, so this is probably going to be there, end quote. He continues on the Giant Bombcast, saying, I've heard both a showcase and maybe state of play. It seems like it might lean towards a showcase. It's definitely in that time frame of when they did the showcase last year, end quote. Sony hasn't posted a PlayStation showcase since the 2023 edition, which also fell into the presumed May slot, where the hardware manufacturer received criticism for focusing on its state of live service titles rather than new single-player games. Fair Games and Concord, as well as Marathon, were all revealed during the live stream. Given the company has now taken somewhat of a step back from its games-as-a-service push, fans will likely hope to see new offline experiences like a Ghost of Sequel, like a potential Ghost of Tsushima sequel. Max, you want to showcase?
Yeah, it'd be nice to know what they're doing.
Mm.
We really don't know. All we know is that a lot of those live service games are being cancelled.
Mm.
So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they
not
do
the
there.
Ones that have been shown, of course, like Concord and Fair Games, this will happen.
And obviously so is Marathon over at Bungie. But yeah, it would be nice to know what kind of what's going on. Take a peek behind the curtain, so to speak.
Yeah, and like I'm in a similar space to you.
And it's also you know, they have a new CEO now. This is the moment that they can kind of come out and be like, hey, we're going to do things a little bit differently. We're going to be a little bit more open. We're going to be and kind of shake things up a little bit. This seems like a good time to do it. If it's in May, that's a month away, give or take. Sounds like, it's also just before like Summer Games Fest and all of that stuff.
Because similar to last year, I remember them dropping the showcase just prior to the E3 quote unquote week. So it would make sense if they are doing a pro, like it's one of those things where we probably won't see them announce it at this event, because if it's releasing in holiday 2024, so we're looking November, December, you want to announce that probably in about September. Because if you announce a pro now, no one will buy a PS5 between now and November.
So PlayStation held their last showcase on the 25th of May last year.
Yeah. But to answer to sort of the question about what will this hold, Silent Hill makes sense. We did see it at the previous showcase alongside Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater Delta. So I imagine that would be there too.
Well, the other big rumored title is another Astro game.
That would, like, yeah, from Team Asobi, that would be awesome, and is very much needed. Hopefully, it comes to PSVR 2, so there's something to play on. Something of a grandier scale to play on PS2. Sorry, PS2, PSVR 2. With PlayStation and their focuses of late. I do think we will see some follow-ups to some of those live stream games, but what I wonder is, well, how much further in the future they're going to show. I would imagine we'd see more Wolverine, but we all know a lot about Wolverine, thanks to those Insomniac leaks, which changes things. But outside of that, we really don't know what's coming and what's happening. So if they do a showcase, I would imagine it'd be very reliant on more second-party exclusives. and very likely some prolific third parties. Probably not like a GTA or nothing, because that's still a while away. We will never see a Call of Duty on one of these showcases again. So one of the previous big hitters has now stepped away from that.
Yeah, no, they've already rumored that the next Call of Duty will happen at the Microsoft showcase in June or whenever.
Yeah,
that was. Yeah.
Yeah. So like them, as far as we're aware, outside of the Pro, there's no mention of any new gear. So last showcase, or at least the last state of play, they showed the earbuds. They showed the Pulse earbuds, the Pulse Explores. And then the new, the Pulse 3D, whatever they called it. So I don't think there's anything new from there. It's a tough one. Like everyone's gonna go in with incredibly high expectations and be like, oh, we're gonna get this, we're gonna get that. I guarantee we're gonna get none of those things. I do wonder who will be the presenter in these videos. Are we going to see or learn about the new replacement to Jim Ryan? Like, are we going to see the new CEO of PlayStation? And this is their reveal event, I guess. Because Jim Ryan did appear at these showcases previously. Mute in the chat asked, maybe a new faceplate and controller color. It's very possible. Probably, if they want to show some gear stuff, it's probably the easiest thing to show. I don't look. It's one of those tough ones because, yeah, my theory is it's purely second party, and then apart from Wolverine and maybe like Concord, fair games, whatever, but like not we're not going to be blown away by something we don't know. Don't see. Moving on,
Let's talk PlayStation Portal. So PS Portal owners may have noted the system update 2.0.6 is now available, requiring the usual restart rigmarole. The patch notes for the update are incredibly sparse, but potentially quite profound, reading simply, we've improved system software performance and stability. Oh,
classic.
However, in the hours since the release of the update, players have been reporting a drastic increase in video quality. Spotted by PlayStation Lifestyle, players on the PlayStation Portal subreddit have been singing the update's praises. While stuttering still persists during demanding gameplay sequences, the finer detail appears to have been improved overall with less pixelation. Quote, the video quality and bitrate is day and night different and better, wrote one user. Another tried to rationalize the increased performance. Mine is running smoother for sure. Micro stutters are not even noticeable anymore. This update could have done something with connections, maybe. Not a placebo. I've literally gone back and checked games that gave me trouble, and it's way smoother. Back in February, a group of Google engineers who apparently just for fun managed to hack the streaming PlayStation Portal to run emulated PSP games offline, being courageous white hat types, the group, quote, responsibly reported the issues to Sony. The exploit was quietly fixed in that patch, which also seems to have improved the video quality significantly. So no more playing PlayStation Portable games on your PlayStation Portal.
New.
Rip.
So, look, this is cool. And my presumption here is it's fixed on signal. Like, it's because, once again, there's very little on-house in-device processing power. So all they would have done, patch networking, patch their Wi-Fi, whatever it is, brilliant, done, awesome. So the package collector or whatever. But depending on the internet that you're using, you still may have trouble. The lack of browser, still a problem. That's what I want to see. Like, I know the introduction of a browser does leave it open to exploits. However, as I said at the start of the show, let me log into fucking Wi-Fis. Because, like, that drastically changed the use case of this for me. Drastically. But, it is interesting. Like, shout out to the team of Google to the do it and then do the right thing and go to PlayStation and be like, yo, we broke it, and that's good, you know, especially on the back of how PlayStation have held their handhelds. Obviously the PSP, known for its massive exploit, which once they cracked that thing, got wide open, and then they were really conservative with the Vita to a point where it was expensive, it was cost prohibitive with the cards. And that they eventually broke it too. And as a result, they stopped supporting the Vita and it died. I don't see the Portal being in that same space because there's no purpose-built games for the Portal because it doesn't have that functionality. But I think it's more of a securing it down to prevent that emulation side of things, because it is essentially just a tablet, and there has to be some on board. I haven't seen a teardown of a Portal yet, but I should watch that later, and that'll let me, that'll mention like what's the capabilities of the screen. Is it just a screen, or can it do something? But yeah, what about yourself, Max? Anything? Because you haven't got a Portal, you haven't played with a Portal.
No, I haven't. I haven't even come to check out yours.
No, come look at my Portal, Max. Let's head into what is, well, I guess what was one of the highest, you know, or the current highest pre-order was Sea of Thieves. I think it still is. I think it's not out yet, so it still is.
It's still the highest pre-ordered game on a PlayStation.
Thank you.
At the moment.
I got my times mixed up because I saw that Grounded is out, yeah.
Grounded comes out next week.
Oh, okay. What's in the store now where it hasn't been in the store?
Yeah.
So this month's...
This is dropping on the 30th of April.
Nice. This month's PS5 release of Sea of Thieves is seen as, quote, a key test to determine whether more Xbox titles will be ported over to the Sony systems. Tom Warren of The Verge reports. In a new article... detailing executive changes at Xbox, it said sources close to Warren tell of continued discussions around evaluating what current Xbox exclusives will be brought over to PS5. The success of Sea of Thieves on PS5 is supposedly the key to whether more titles will follow in the future. The PS5 port of Rare's Seafaring Adventure arrives on the 30th of April, as Max mentioned a moment ago, or you can get it 5 days early when you with access to the premium edition. The developer looks to be going all out with its support on Sony's console, as all of our progress and items can carry over from a current Xbox or PC save. And there'll be several servers dedicated to PS5 players. Furthermore, a whopping 254 trophies will be on offer. And also, big thank you for the Mullet Show for dropping us, reminding that this is their 73rd month of supporting us. Thank you very much. Rare certainly seems to be doing its part in giving Sea of Thieves the best chance of success on the PS5. And for now, that appears to be replicated in the PS5 store pre-order charts, as I mentioned. Currently, the base game and the premium edition are two of the three best-selling pre-orders on Sony's marketplace in at least the UK, with only Stellar Blade beating it. In the USA, however, the premium edition is third. To add on top of that, in terms of progression transfers, developer Rare published an illuminating blog post this week answering many of our burning questions around the PS5's release. And along with the astonishing number of trophies that we mentioned, PlayStation players are spoiled with unique cosmetics, haptic feedback allowing for that greater immersion, and the DualSense's adaptive triggers are getting brought into the game. It will offer parity with the Xbox Series X version, so we're talking 60 frames at 4K, and for those jumping ship or turning coat, Xbox players can transfer their progress and items over to the PlayStation. So I played it on PC back then, so that's pretty cool. Xbox and Steam achievements will seamlessly convert into trophies on PS5, which feels like a first, although perhaps we weren't paying attention, according to this article. Rare notes show that in-progress achievements may be lost and must be redone on PS5. If you want to burn your bridges with former Xbox mates, PlayStation-only servers will let players deactivate cross-play functionality, restricting game sessions and PlayStation players. Crossplay can also be limited to controller only if you're poor to play with your gamepad brethren alone. But one last thing, we mentioned trophies. So as reported by True Trophies, the game is set to launch with an eye-watering 254 trophies on the PS5. This includes the base set of 60, including the Platinum, and a secondary set which comprises of an additional 194 trinkets to collect. If it's the plat you're after, you only need to concentrate on the base list, but true trophy hunters want to do the whole thing. While some trophies are tied to progression through pirate ranks and getting new equipment, many of them are quite situational, which makes sense given the title's sandbox nature. So you may need to complete a certain number of sailing feats or combat actions and other piratey things, like throwing up from drinking too much, raising a flag to certain trading companies, and of course, acquiring treasure. Max, I loved Sea of Thieves.
I also love Sea of Thieves. Sea of Thieves was exactly what I've always said about multiplayer games is the game is as fun as you make it with the friends that you play with, and I had an absolute blast playing with my friends. I would love to pick it up on PlayStation. It's a lot better than another pirate game that recently was released that was a quad A title, apparently. but yeah, it's cool to see this come across. Hopefully it does well if it is truly the key test to see whether or not they bring more exclusives across. Based on pre-orders alone, it sounds like it is a winner.
Yeah.
Hopefully that means we get Hellblade across on PlayStation. That would be great. But as a starting port, seems to be doing well.
Yeah, it is one of those things where, like, I myself, I remember playing Sea of Thieves at some PAX here in Australia. And I remember going to the Pollywood side and playing Sea of Thieves on an old-timey pirate ship. It was sick. It was one of the greatest experiences I've had in a, like, from a PAX situation. It was awesome. I did spend a lot of time with it on my old PC. And what I loved about it was very similar to Helldivers, I guess, in a lot of ways, in that, like, it's that come in and come out. That means if you don't play for a while, you're not at a major disadvantage because, you know, all the weapons are the same value. Well, unlike Helldivers in that sense, but, like, in terms of, you know, everyone has the same weapons, you can all, it's purely cosmetics, right? So that makes it really fun to drop in and drop out. Like, you occasionally lose your interest or you get something, another game comes up, you can come across. So being able to bring everything I've done from my PC to the PS5 version is massive. Now, not that I've spent so much and or spent a stack of coin or anything, so I'm not going to be like, oh, can I please get my cosmetics from there to here? But if that is an option, brilliant, and I may in fact do that. If it does still allow for, like, if I'm not sacrificing never being able to play that save again, like if we got cross progression, I don't believe that's been mentioned. That would be pretty cool. Makes sense to have the support of the adaptive Mahuzmas, which is cool. Stack of trophies gives you reason to sort of really push through it. Now, for those that have Steam achievements or whatever, or Microsoft trophies, no, what are they called? Achievements as well.
Game score.
Gamer score, yeah. So the incentive was already there. The other advantage that we're going to have is that we are playing a game that, when it first released, was very good, but very bare bones. Where now we are getting X amount of years worth of content. So you, when you ch do choose to you know, lift your sail and get into the Sea of Thieves, you are going to have a pool or an ocean of potential things to go and do. And it's no surprise that there is a success, there is positive movement by bringing them across, because there were games, fundamentally, there were games that were never available over there. I do truly think that this is just the beginning of Microsoft bringing all these games over, because I think they're seeing the money here, which is the exact reason they did it. So why stop? But
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
if we can get Hellblade 2 out of this, the Indiana Jones, the next Doom game, if and when that happens. Yeah, even if you go back to old games, like, I still think that Halo will be, like, the final thing we ever get. But as we look to the future of Microsoft stepping away from what appears from the console space, at least the hardware side of things, I reckon, yeah, Gears of War will be an easy one to come over. What else? Oh, State of Decay. I would love to get State of Decay. I had a lot of fun playing State of Decay 2. But yeah, is there any particular Microsoft exclusive title, or at least first party title, that you would want to see come across, Max? Killer Instinct would be cool.
Yeah, fucking Killer Instinct would be rad, actually. I don't know, like, you know, you'd love to play all the Halo games, stuff like that. Especially with the new one being essentially free to play in its, multiplayer capacity. Yeah, it's weird. I mean, State of Decay would be cool. all of those multiplayer co-op style games that they've done, the Fable, would love Fable.
Oh, yes, Fable, please.
I think the biggest win that Xbox has currently over PlayStation is their backlog catalog of their older generation games, and it seems to be. I'm actually looking at an article that was posted about an hour ago, with the headline of Xbox President Sarah Bond has established a new team dedicated to game preservation and backwards compatibility in future hardware. That to me is cool. Like being able to just pick up and play old stuff is great. And like Sony kind of dipped their toe in it with the deluxe model of their PlayStation Plus subscription, but they're so few and far
Or with
between, and
that
they're
one,
not
as you mentioned, with that one team working
one
on
team.
it.
They're also not picking like bangers.
Yeah,
They're not picking
I think they're picking what they can turn around quickly.
those big nostalgia hits. So,
And also
seeing.
for those playing at home, a lot of those huge nostalgia hits that we experienced on PS1 were all third parties, or they were all, licensed games, which makes it really hard.
I think seeing Hellblade come across would be cool. Seeing all those other titles they're in the similar vein, like State of Decay, all that stuff. I don't think they're gonna be like, let's drop Forza on PlayStation.
Yeah, I think that will come
Like,
later.
I don't think it would ever come at all. I don't think PlayStation would want to lose that hold of, we have our racing game, you have yours, just keep them separate.
But if
Let's
they
not.
but if they
Let's
then
not.
release if they can release the Forza games onto PlayStation and they outsell Turismo,
Yeah, that well,
like that would be a good claim. Oh, 100% will happen. But you know what I mean in terms of like if they then Turismo gets a competitor, which they haven't had in a very long time. Like I like Polyphony and what they would do with Gran Turismo is great, but like there's no competitor. Competition makes everything better.
Yeah, of
What was
course.
that? What was that game that fucking Terry Crews was in? There was a third one.
Crackdown.
Crackdown. I hope that doesn't come across.
No, it was garbage.
And
Thank
that
you.
was poops. But yeah, if I'm trying to think, is there anything else I'd really need to come over? Might be it, I think.
Vampires.
Oh, that would be pretty cool, actually.
Except on console, it'd be garbage.
Yeah, might just.
Let's have a quick look. I'm gonna pull it up. Starfield.
So, yeah, Starfield's a biggie. That makes sense.
Actually, you know what I would like to see come across?
What's that?
Microsoft Flight
Oh, yeah,
Sim.
Flight Sim in VR. Yeah, boy. I'll vomit immediately.
Ori.
Oh, yes, Ori's a biggie. Yep.
Can we get Insomniac Games as Sunset Overdrive?
Well, we could, because although the IP is owned by Insomniac, the publishing rights are through Microsoft, so that would be the only way to work around it, yeah.
Gears would be cool. It's one of those things, like, what Quantum Break from
Oh my God.
Remedy, right? Remedy
Yeah,
did Quantum
Remedy.
Break
Yeah.
with fucking
Sean
Iceman from
Astin.
X-Men. Yeah, that's his name. I can't think of his name.
Guy from Animorphs.
Sure, the guy from Animorphs. It's Iceman from X-Men.
right, Max, just getting them quick bitties.
Right, quick biddies. Not many this week. Star Wars Outlaws story trailer to be released on Tuesday. Elder Scrolls Online celebrated its 10th anniversary this week.
Man, I have tried to play that so many times, eh?
Yeah. If you miss an expansion, you're fucked. Like, it's
Yeah.
really hard to get back into. Because it doesn't re-onboard you very well.
No, it does not. Remember that was that one time, I think it was probably about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, where you and I both went, yeah, let's try it.
Dude, I got a key for the previous expansion,
Yeah.
and it didn't gel with my ownership of the game because it came as a Steam key and
Yeah.
I owned it through the Bethesda shop and it just had a fucking massive bitch fit and it took me ages to try and get it working. And then I jumped on and I'm like, I don't know where to go. I had like 30 million fucking waypoints on my map. And it's like, It's like, which campaign do you want to do? I'm like, I don't know. The first one, please. Ubisoft Forward is the next event coming in the 10th of June, just before Summer Games Fest. Dragon's Dogma 2 has sold 2.5 million copies. Overall, the series is now at 10 million plus sales.
Not bad, 2x, 3x.
Not bad, yeah. And for games this week, thank you to GameSpot. So I don't know how accurate this is going to be, but bear with me. We have Goons Legends of Mayhem coming to PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4 on April 11th. And then we have Grounded coming to PS5 on April 16th.
So is this one of those weeks where Max goes, there's only a couple of games, and then a bunch of big games are coming out?
Well, there's a lot of games in this list, but they're all for PC and Xbox only.
Oh, lame.
So, but blame GameSpot.
Yeah, so I guess now's one of those weeks where it's worth to go back and play those games you haven't played yet this year, or if you need to buy a new game this week, just go back a little bit. That it?
Yeah, that's it, I think.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, everyone, for checking out the show and choosing to spend your time with us once again. It is always incredibly appreciated. But yeah, look, as I said, I had a nap this afternoon after my post-wrestling intensity, had a big old snooze, and because I didn't have my meds today either, so I could have a drink. So I'm a little bit scatterbrained, so I hope the episode was functional.
Definitely shorter than last week's fucking 2-hour monstrosity.
Yeah, that was a longie last week. Good chats though. Good chats though last week.
Yeah.
All right, Max, let's send this bad boy home.
All right, buddy. All right, everybody. This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, or you have any topics you'd like us to discuss, come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join us as the conversation happens, you can by heading over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures. We want you to record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and come and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/popcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popcultures.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was for the players. So you're not going to watch day 2 of WrestleMania?
Oh, mate, we'll see.
Ooh. Ooh.
If you message me and be like, hey, the main event of the...
Oh, I can do that. I can do that. Yeah, that's fine.
I'm assuming it's not between 11 a.m. and 12, and I'm at work, I'll totally watch it.
It'll be synced up at the same time as the main event today, so it'll be about 12, 1 o'clock.
Yeah, sounds good.